that he experienced in the Transfiguration. Lord, this is wonderful. Let's stay here. Oh, Peter, you weakling, you braggart, you coward. You who dare to tell Christ, everyone abandons you, not me. You did not even have the courage to admit you are Christ's disciple. Peter is far more typical than most of us, I'm afraid, realize. Under the spell, shall I say, of spiritual consolation, well, we're in near ecstasy. All kinds of promises, all kinds of resolutions. A man marries, and my share of weddings, in your ecstasy, 6 months later, a priest ordained, I think I should say this, I was giving classes in Philadelphia some years ago, and not coincidentally, in the Philadelphia Daily Paper, I read a news report about Chicago. Forty-eight men ordained to the priesthood in a given year, here in Chicago. The year that I read the news item, 24 out of 48 of the ordained priests had left the priesthood. How the church needs stable, sound, firm commitments. What a difference between the effusion of an emotional experience and the day after day, month after month, year after year, commitment to following Jesus Christ. When the disciples heard the voice of the Father, they fell on their faces, overcome with fear. Jesus came up and touched them. Stand up, he said. Do not be afraid. Talk about vacillation. Talk about on again, off again. One moment, ecstasy. Another moment, collapse out of fear. That is why we had the previous meditation on Jesus Christ, the rock of our lives. If there is one thing desperately lacking in the world today, it is stability. Stability in every walk of life. Stability in marriage, stability in religious life, stability in the priesthood, stability in any commitment that people make, especially commitments to following God as one's conscience, enlightened by grace, tells the person, and this is what, hear it, this is what a retreat should be. It should be a period of time when we either make commitments we've never made before, or strengthen such commitments, or clarify these commitments, especially on how we can remain firm, stable, immovable, unchangeable. I think I've told some of you when, after a terrible humiliation, a national association which I had started with the encouragement of the Holy See, but having formed a board of directors, and they got a person involved whose orthodoxy I found out was not trustworthy. I wanted the person removed, and they refused. When I got home, the bishop, chairman of the board, called me up and laid me out. John, you've got a fixation on dogma. In other words, you are mentally sick. I thank you for the compliment. 4 years of work went down the drain. I'm not speaking from thin air. Firmness, stability, rather die than allow one iota of your faith to go either unchallenged or questioned or, worst of all, denied. I carry with me a relic of St. Thomas More. I need the inspiration of his courage. Be told by the evangelist, when Jesus told them, stand up, do not be afraid, they raised their eyes They saw no one, but only Jesus. But he had revealed to them, and through them to us, what we had better learn. Like our Savior, we too are to walk our Via Crucis in greater or less measure, our way of the cross. But beyond Calvary, there is that everlasting transfiguration which Christ allowed his disciples to experience before his passion to strengthen their faith and through them to strengthen ours. We need it. We need it to see beyond the horizon of time out to the mountain of eternity where Jesus is awaiting us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Confessions now, as I've said, to make a good retreat means to make a good confession.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us
sinners now and at the hour of our death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As I prayed over this passage this morning, what came to my mind was what Father said last night during the question and answer period about the levels of the will and how impulses come to us. And that first level of desire is not the critical one. The next level of decision is. And how often we struggle with fear and sometimes fail to see the real point behind it. You know, you hear Jesus saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. How often do we say that to others who are sorrowing or grieving? And how often we'll say, well, don't be upset about that. It's going to be all right, or I'll pray for you, or it'll get better. That's a lot different than what Jesus is saying. You notice Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God and faith in me. He's challenging us to see the inherent connection between fear and faith. If we let fear overcome us, and as Father mentioned in one of his talks, how sadness is kind of grief and sorrow out of control, then we'll miss that opportunity of growth in faith. We'll miss that opportunity to see this crisis, this sorrow, this tragedy in the light of faith. we'll miss the challenge of it, and we'll miss the ability to embrace that challenge. Because Jesus says, after he says, have faith, he says, I have a place for you. And certainly most all of us immediately think, well, okay, the sufferings of this world is in preparation for the place he has ready for us in heaven. And that's certainly valid. But he also has a place for us here, in his kingdom here on earth, the church. And he wants us to see in the midst of our suffering and the challenge to deal with that fear that he has a place for us too, right now, in the midst of that relationship we're struggling with, or in the midst of that crisis or job environment, or that problem we're having with whomever in our life. He has a place for us there, a place in the midst of suffering. St. Paul was the one who said, I make up for what is lacking in the suffering of Christ. What's lacking? Our participation. Our willingness to be the redemptive beacon to others. Our willingness to suffer for others and to draw them in to unite with Christ in their suffering as well. You know, on Calvary there were three crosses. And they kind of reveal to us three ways of dealing with suffering. The thief to the left cries out, if you're truly the Son of God, save us and yourselves. Take us down from these crosses. Very typical human level response to suffering. Escape. Get me out of here. I have a 92-year-old uncle in Pittsburgh that I've been in phone contact with regularly the last few days. He's been taken to a hospital. And he hates it. His whole answer is to get out of there. And so it's taken a lot of listening and encouragement to help him be open to the next level. Because all he wants to do is get out of there, and all that's going to cause is for him to get more and more serious problems with his leg. But escape is a very natural human reaction. But our Lord wants us to have a supernatural response. And the thief on the right shows us a higher level of response to suffering. He says to his partner, be quiet. This man has done nothing. We deserve what we're getting. His answer is to endure the suffering, to tough it out, to journey through it. And that's certainly a much higher level than the escape. But Jesus in the middle, he shows us the highest level, the level where don't let your soul, your hearts be troubled, have faith. He shows us where we can even find peace in the midst of our suffering. Because his answer is certainly not to escape, and his answer is not even to endure. His answer is to embrace the suffering. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's the message of the cross. It's the message of redemptive suffering. He not only takes his suffering and offers it for us and for our saving, but he makes excuses for us. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them, Father. What a beautiful message of what we can do with our suffering. You know, sometimes when we're suffering, we miss the beauty of the opportunity that suffering is giving us. If our suffering has to do with a loved one, we have this unique opportunity of grace for them that no one else has. Because the depths of our suffering over them is deeper than anyone else has. And so we have the opportunity to offer that anxiety, that suffering, as we try to deal with it, to offer it to God for them. To follow the Master's example and to be redeeming in our suffering. To be atoning for our own sins as well. And Jesus says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He shows us the peace we can have, even in the midst of suffering, if we do more than endure it. If we give up the idea of escaping it, if we truly embrace it. So our Lord is challenging us to see the beauty of this fear that seems to chase after us. And to see how also we can deal with it. Did you notice Thomas? Thomas, you know, usually pretty open about sharing his doubts and feelings. And we need to see the good that can be. Because as Thomas says, Lord, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way? I mean, how many of us would have had the courage to say that? We'd have kind of just said, wonder what that means. I'll have to think about that. And we could think about it endlessly and maybe never come up with the answer. I mean, Jesus permits Thomas and people like Martha to model for us how to deal with our human emotions. We're all different. And for many of us, we can't just put something aside. It continues to gnaw at us. It continues to come up and come up and come up. And so we look at Thomas and we look at Martha. I mean, Martha has always taken our Lord to task. Lord, if you had been here, Lazarus would never have died. Lord, tell Mary to help. I'm stuck with all the work. Can't a lot of us relate to the Martha and the Thomas? And does Jesus reprimand them for sharing their feelings? Not at all. He's calling them to say, okay, well, now that you've emptied yourself and are ready to hear, here's the scoop. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So it's important for us to know that our Lord is inviting us to deal with our fear in a way that truly can receive what He has to offer, that can let Him help our faith to grow rather than let our fear continue to overcome us with doubts and anxieties that paralyze us or that tend to sadden us. When we are giving into sadness, as Father said, we are letting true sorrow overcome us, grief overcome us, rather than dealing with it. So let us today think about the beautiful message in John 14 and refer to it often. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God and faith in me. I have prepared a place for you. Let us now offer our petitions to our Heavenly Father. For our Holy Father, Pope John Paul, that God may...